I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6. The bulletin says we're thinking together about spiritual gifts, and that's what we're doing this morning. But we're emphasizing the variety in God's provision for our involvement in His work. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4, 5, and 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now in our last study, last Sunday morning, we examined the subject of involvement, God's will for His people. And we were emphasizing that there's a tremendous need for involvement. We mentioned and studied the fact that God has made provision for our involvement. And then we closed by looking for a few moments at least at God's purpose in our involvement. Now, the story is something like this, and I know that some can see this and some cannot. Perhaps you notice major objectives that God has in mind for the body of Christ. Two of them. One is evangelism and the other is edification. Evangelism, of course, is the preaching of the gospel, going into all the world, making disciples, getting people to make a decision for Christ. Edification is to take them from that point on to growth and maturity in Christ. The picture is something like this. God intends the church to move out into the world, evangelize the world, and get them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord gives direction. He supplies them with gifts for their ministry after they become Christians. They're equipped to go back into the church, minister to the church in edification, but also minister to the world in evangelism. And so the circle is a continuing one as God has planned it. In our last study, we noted that God had gifted His people for involvement. We looked at Romans 12, and we'll look at that again in a little bit, and we looked at 1 Corinthians 12, and that He also gifted the church with leaders, and that was, of course, pictured for us in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in this study this morning, I'd like to have us look at the variety in God's provision for this involvement. There are three things, and I'd like to have you take a look at the text that we're looking at to get the perspective here. You'll notice in verse 4, it says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, the word diversities and the word differences is the same word. And so you have the same word appearing in all three verses. There is a variety of gifts. There is a variety of administrations, and there is a variety of operations. So you have variety from the start to the finish. You'll notice also, by way of getting acquainted with this text, that the triune God is obviously totally involved in this matter of gifting God's people or the church. Fourth verse says that there's the diversity of gifts and refers to the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, a diversity or differences of administration, but the same Lord, referring to the second person of the Trinity. And verse 6, diversity of operations and refers to God the Father. Now, I would emphasize that the Trinity is operative here. In verse 4, the gifts are mentioned. In verse 5, the word administrations is mentioned. It actually refers to service. There is a variety in the types of service that are performed through the body of Christ. And in verse 6, the word operations refers to results. There are a variety of results that come from the variety of gifts operating or serving in various ways, producing various types of results. Now this morning, I'd like to have us first of all look at the variety in the area of the gifts themselves. And we will use some overheads here that are, well, they leave much to be desired as far as clarity is concerned. We need something that we don't have. But anyhow, this is Romans. It may not look like Romans to you, but it is, R-O-M. Now I want you to think with me at the variety of spiritual gifts. Now in Romans 12, 1 to 8, and also verse 13, we have these gifts listed. You can ferret them out yourself, they're right there, but the gift of prophecy, gift of ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, showing mercy, and hospitality. We'll run across this word prophecy and prophets down here. We might as well clarify that. Prophecy is not solely or even largely predicting the future. It is proclaiming God's message. It does not necessarily have to be involved with predicting the future at all. A prophet is one who is a spokesman for God. And so we want to clarify that because later on it'll be important that we have a distinction there. When we move into the chapter where we found our text this morning, beginning with verse 1, I'd like to have you follow it in your Bibles there. Notice he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then he begins in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge, another gift, and faith, and healings, miracles, prophecy again, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues." Notice this tremendous variety. I think that whether we later on get a chance to elaborate on these or not, I'm not sure. But the word of wisdom would be the ability to speak a word at a crisis time, to give direction, to help a person perhaps who is in great confusion, under great pressure, wanting to know which direction to go. Some people are gifted with the word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is a little different than that. It is refers to a deeper understanding of the Word of God and a comprehensive knowledge of Scripture. And that is also apparently a gift of the Spirit. Now, faith, we all, if we're believers, if we're Christians, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is referring to something over and beyond that. It's referring to faith to trust God for something perhaps bigger than a person without that gift of faith would be able to trust him for. It is a characteristic of a person who has vision, can picture things like he believes God would have them, and trust God for big things. Where another person would trim God down to his size, this person has faith to believe God for the great thing, the unusual thing, and so forth. Healings, miracles, they are self-explanatory, I'm sure. Discerning of spirits, this is the ability given by God to some people to see through people who are phony, to spot a false prophet right at the very outset. It's the a gift of the Spirit, discerning of spirits. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 that we are to try the spirits. Well, that's the responsibility of every Christian, to try the spirits. But some are gifted with greater insight and comprehension than others, and that is a gift from the Spirit of God. Tongues, self-explanatory, interpretation of tongues, I think also explanatory. When you move down in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians to verse 28, you have a recap and some others added, of course. Here, in some of these cases, we're talking about gifts who are people, and apostles, prophets, teachers. Then a repetition of something that has appeared before, miracles, healings, something new, helps. And then governments and tongues. When we move to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we have that familiar passage where it says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so it is very apparent to us that there is a great variety in the area of the gifts themselves. Now, when we consolidate all of this, there are not quite so many to deal with. And this is another poor transparency. But I'll read it for you just in case you can't make it out. Consolidation of the list of spiritual gifts. This takes the list in Romans and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and puts them together. Prophecy and prophets probably would go together. Teaching and teachers, ruling and governments. There's a difference here. This word ruling is the word to stand before. It has the idea of a person who is a leader, but also who cares for people and guides them. He's an overseer. Governments refers more to an administrative, impersonal ability to really get things done, not so much in a pastoral sense, but a manager. Giving direction to an operation, which is not necessarily involved in the ruler. So these are gifts that God has given to individuals within the body of Christ. It is also clear, and we should keep this in mind as a more or less of a footnote to this, that inasmuch as God has placed rulers or gifted people as rulers and as governors in his work, it should clarify that it is not necessarily true that somebody is trying to boss the whole show. No, it may be that somebody has been gifted by God in these areas and is intended by God to give certain types of leadership. We want to watch out for that and be aware of these gifts, and that it's God's gift to the church. And then showing of mercy. Mercy really is love in action. And sometimes it involves where kindness is shown and help is given to a person who has violently insulted one, violently worked against one. But a person with this kind of a gift from God finds it a very natural thing to show mercy to a person, be kind in spite of that, and put love into action. Now, helps is something like that, but possibly would not, does not have all the characteristics of showing mercy. the matter of showing mercy might not even be involved in helping someone. Exhortation is counsel, encouragement, counseling a person, helping them, coming alongside, taking their part, giving, sharing what one has, really, a gift of sharing. Word of wisdom, we've talked about that. Word of knowledge, faith, we've talked about that. Apostles, evangelists, right? Hospitality is found in the 13th verse of 12th chapter of Romans, particularly. I'd like to have you look at that for just a moment, if you will, at Romans chapter 12. Examine with me verses 9 through 13. Chapter 12 of Romans, beginning with verse 9. You'll notice in verse 8, we end the list here of the gifts by, he states here, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Then he goes on and says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Well, I've just singled that one out, but it's a part of that emphasis on love. Let love be without dissimulation. When we do that, we abhor evil, we cleave to the good, we are affectionate one to another, we are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and given to hospitality. So, and I know that this list can vary from one Bible teacher to another, but with this kind of an arrangement, we could identify at least 21 gifts in this variety of gifts. I think it's very important that we recognize this tremendous variety that is certainly a vital part of God's ministry to His church. Now I'd like to have us think about another variety that's spoken of in our text, the variety in the area of serving. Like I mentioned a moment ago, in verse 5, there are differences of administrations, and that word administration carries the idea of service. Now, it's obvious that some of these gifts are intended to specifically equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Now, it says here in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, He gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints. Now, what gifts would they use in the equipping of the saints? I dare say that the gift of prophecy would be one of the gifts that would be used, the ability to be a spokesman for God and convey to the members of the body of Christ the word of God, the will of God, a prophet in that sense, not predicting the future so much as that. And of course, in teaching, which would be closely connected with that. That is one of the gifts that he would use to edify or to build up or equip the church and the saints. And exhortation as well. The gift of word of wisdom could certainly be included here. And the word of knowledge. So one of the services rendered would be the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's one thing. The variety of services is seen also in the fact that some gifts are intended to serve as ministries to help the work of the Lord to continue, to facilitate the operation. Now, some of these gifts are specifically helpful in that area. Now, in the Romans passage, we read about the word serving. Well, that's the word for deacon, and it means to serve. And that's a gift that some people have. And churches cannot function without people who are functioning in serving. And it's more than serving the communion. Then, of course, there is in 1 Corinthians 12:28 reference to helps. Now, in a given congregation, there are certain people who are gifted in the area of helps, and they seem to find their great delight, their great joy in helping other people. And their schedules are pretty open, and they're available to help people. And we have that gift in the First Baptist Church. And in some cases, it's very obvious and a wonderful gift to see in operation. But that's necessary for the ongoing of a congregation. The congregation needs that kind of a gift in operation. Then there's the gift of leadership. And we need people who are gifted to take leadership in a congregation. A congregation, if it were missing this gift of leadership, or ruler, as it appears in one of the texts here, would be unable to function. We have to have rulers. And the gift of administration, we have to have administrators in order for things to go right. This is an area of service in which these gifts are so essential, and of course for which they were designed. And giving, like the black preacher said one time, it takes salvation's free, but it takes money to run the church. Well, that's true. And we're all supposed to tithe, and we're all supposed to, in the will of God, give beyond the tithe in offerings to the Lord. But then there, in addition to any of that, there is the gift of giving, where some people are gifted of God and have their great joy in sharing what they have for the glory of God and the work of the Lord. Showing mercy, discerning of spirits, this is very important. If God did not have this gift in his people, congregations could be ruined. They could be led off into heresy. But he has gifted his people with the ability to discern false prophets and false doctrine. And so the church is kept relatively pure. And how important that is. And then faith, the gift of faith. Beyond trusting Christ as Savior and Lord, the gift of faith, to see what God wants and to see that God is able, even though it looks like there is sure enough a solid roadblock and a solid wall and we cannot go any farther and cannot go through. And the gift of faith says that is nothing that will melt before us. Like it said in the book of Zechariah, that mountain, Zerubbabel will say to that mountain, dissipate, and it dissipates. The person with faith, so important to the ongoing and the proper functioning of a congregation in the area of service and hospitality. My, what would we do without the gift of hospitality? And this is certainly a great service that's rendered, and it's important, and it's going on, of course, in congregations, and we just praise the Lord for this. Well, that's another area, this variety in the area of service. But let me mention another one. Some gifts are designed to serve as authentication and have been used of God to authenticate God's messengers and his message. Now, in the early days, the gift of tongues was used by the Lord to authenticate his message. And it was that way on the day of Pentecost. It got the attention of people. They paid attention to what was being said because the element of the supernatural was there. It was obvious that this was not a man-produced act. God was moving. In later on, in the 10th of Acts, Peter went up to the home of Cornelius, and God authenticated or put his stamp of approval on what Peter was saying by giving the Holy Ghost to the people in that house. And they were given the gift of tongues as well, which meant to the Jews that were there that this is real, this is of God. And it was an authentication. And some gifts have been given for the purpose of authenticating God's messengers and his message. Then the interpretation of tongues, of course, would go along with that. And miracles were performed. And we have the record in the New Testament of like Philip going into Samaria. They listened to him because he was able to perform miracles and authenticated him as a messenger from God, and healings the same way. Now, I'd like to have you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Now, this is a very important text in this area of what God has done in the area of authenticating his messengers and his message in days gone by. You'll notice that Paul writes here, truly, now this is 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Mighty deeds is the word for miracles. Now this is telling us that the apostles had certain credentials that they had. They had certain credentials that let people know that they were truly from the Lord. Signs, wonders, mighty deeds. He puts patience in there. I suppose that would be a mark of genuineness as well. But notice the signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs it's a word for distinguishing marks. And the word wonders is prodigies. It refers to omens. It refers to portents. And the mighty deeds, as I've said, are miracles. Now you'll notice they are signs of an apostle. And the apostles needed this credentialing. They needed this authentication. And so God gave them these signs and wonders and miracles to perform. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews, please. The second chapter of Hebrews. In verses 3 and 4, very important passage. In verse 3, of chapter 2 of Hebrews, we read, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, before we do anything else, you'll notice in verse 4, it says, God bore them witness. He credentialed them by giving them or permitting them to perform signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. It is clearly saying that a lot of these were credentialing for the purpose of credentialing. Now you notice in verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And we get a lot of that in the book of Acts. The Gospels, the Lord telling about the salvation, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That is the apostles, the disciples who got the message from the Lord, and they went out, and we have a picture of that in the book of Acts. And then in verse 4, it says that God credentialed or bore witness to the message of these apostles by signs and wonders and divers miracles. It is very evident that gifts, spiritual gifts, some of them were given for credentialing purposes, to authenticate the messengers of the Lord. Now it appears to me also that a variety in the area of service includes this particular matter, that some were intended to be used and to serve on a temporary basis, and some were intended to be used on a permanent basis. And let me share another one of my poor transparencies with you. This heading is temporary and permanent spiritual gifts. And the temporary gifts, I believe, were tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healings, the apostles and prophets, in the sense that the apostles were, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:1, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? The men who were with the Lord, the apostles in that sense, were temporary. That particular gift was a temporary arrangement. There are others in the New Testament who are referred to as apostles who had not seen the Lord. And we recognize that. And probably in a sense there are apostles today, in that they are sent ones. That's what the word means, really. So, but in the sense of seeing the Lord and that close-knit original group, temporary. And then this particular passage, 1 Corinthians 9:1, gives a mark of an apostle, of a certain kind of an apostle, one who had seen the Lord. And Paul, of course, qualified there. Turn with me to that Ephesians passage, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20. We're dealing with this matter of whether the apostles in that sense were temporary. I think they were. Notice in verses 19 and 20 of the second of Ephesians, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And notice, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, in the sense of foundation, these apostles that had seen the Lord were temporary. They were there, and the foundation goes only so far, and then something else takes over, and the foundation doesn't go on forever. The same with the prophets, in the sense that there are two ideas in the prophet. One, he gets a direct communication from God and speaks it to the people. The other is he takes the message out of the Word of God and proclaims it to the people. In the sense of a direct communication, those fellows are, I do not believe, existing today. And I believe that that was over when the New Testament was closed. And so in that sense, apostles and prophets are temporary. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says that the whole gift arrangement will not continue forever. Prophecies. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall not be permanent, is what it's saying. And so much for that. I think that we need to recognize that some of the gifts, spiritual gifts, were not intended to go on forever and to function forever. But I believe the permanent gifts do include about at least 16 of that great variety that we saw. I think evangelists are still gifted men in this area, pastors, teachers, the same, prophecy, where you are a spokesman for God in the sense that you don't add anything to that which is already given, but you declare God's truth. And teaching is very much akin to that, but it's a little more detailed, and perhaps a prophet declaring God's truth does not necessarily explain anything. He just says, this is what God says. Doesn't give you any reasons, doesn't give you any footnotes or anything to it. He can function that way. A teacher gives you some of the background and the basis for what he's declaring, and which is more than different than prophecy. Exhortation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I think we still need those around, and serving in the sense, broad sense of serving, and helps. Leadership, we still need that. Administrators, we need giving we need, showing mercy, discerning of spirits we certainly need it, faith, people of gift, with the gift of faith, and hospitality. I think that there is that variety as well in the area of service. They were not intended to serve forever. Now the last emphasis that I'd like to make is the variety in the area of results. Now I want you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of Romans, please. And I know that our time is just about gone. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. I want you to notice the apparent variety of results that were suggested in limitations that were mentioned there. In verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And then this statement, according to the proportion of faith. Well, that means I think that the gift of prophecy will function differently in two different people with that gift. And it will be according to the proportion of faith with which he operates. Now notice verse 3 in chapter 12, the last part of verse 3. Do you notice here that it says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So along with the sovereign distribution of gifts, there is a sovereign distribution of faith along with that gift. And there apparently is a variety within that gift of faith that goes along with the gift of prophecy. So that there would be prophecy would vary according, and the operation of that gift of prophecy would vary according to the faith of the individual, and the result also, therefore, I would say, would vary. So there's a variety of returns or a variety of results that come from the functioning of prophecy or the functioning of a prophet. Now the same limitation, I imagine, would probably apply to every one of the gifts in verses 7 and 8 listed here and would affect the results of them. Now it says in verse 7 of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Well, faith is all tied up in that as well. And he teacheth on teaching. Certainly there is faith involved there as well. And he that exhorteth, again, he that giveth, again, ruling, and showeth mercy, and all the rest of it. I believe that the results are variable according to the limitations that are put on these. Now, while we're looking at verses 7 and 8, or particularly verse 8, notice the giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Well, okay. If there was a absence of simplicity, this person with this gift of giving would operate differently than a person who had plenty of simplicity. And simplicity means sincerity. It means uprightness. And so you could have a variety of results in the operation of these gifts. And so there are lots of variations that apparently are built into this whole matter of spiritual gifts. Notice in the matter of ruling with diligence. Okay, a person has the gift of ruling to give guidance and to stand before a crowd and be a leader among the people of God. But there can be degrees of diligence with which a person executes his gift. I think the results would vary as well. With the diligence as that varied, so would the results vary. And then you have showing mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, I suppose it's possible to show mercy without cheerfulness. And the degree of cheerfulness would determine somewhat the results of the functioning of that particular gift. When you get down to verse 32, you begin to see the results. Now, the Apostle Paul was a highly gifted individual. He had lots of the spiritual gifts. But notice the variation in the results that came. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now, the thing that I have jotted down here is that some mocked the Apostle Paul, and he had gotten that other places, of course, and some procrastinated, and he probably had run into that many a time. But bear in mind that very few believed under his ministry in Athens. And no church, as far as we know, was ever established there. And so you have a variation in the results when these gifts are operating. They operated in the city of Athens, but they didn't produce very much. Through a man that was highly gifted, filled with the Spirit of God. So there are varieties. I think we've seen that there is a great variety in the area of the gifts themselves. There's a variety in the service that is rendered by these gifts. There is a variety in the results that come through the operation of these gifts. We've also seen, I think, the sovereign hand of our triune God in all of this. We haven't emphasized this morning, but it's certainly there. And all three members of the Godhead are involved in this matter of spiritual gifts. And I think, too, that we should be very humble in the exercise of our gifts. Because remember, the measure of faith we have has been measured to us by the Lord. And the gift has been sovereignly given to us of the Lord. We didn't originate anything. So we ought to be very humble in the operation, but we also ought to be very faithful in the operation of our gifts. There is so much at stake. And of course, we have just whittled away this morning at a little more, and a little segment of this whole total picture of spiritual gifts. Lord willing, we'll attempt to do more with it in days to come. Let's bow in prayer together.